Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio this weekend by Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller Debbie Bautista. We're talking all about some election changes and looking ahead to the March primary here locally taking place and across the state of California. And Auditor Controller Bautista, next thing I want to ask you about is just the local elections that are going to be coming up in March. We've got some competitive supervisor races, city council, all kinds of different things. So first off, you know, the races that are on the ballot this time around, can you explain about how they go on to the general election in November?
Great. So there's actually three different groups of elections that are on for positions. There's, of course, the supervisor districts, and that is District 1, 4, and 5. And how that works, there's three candidates in each of those districts. That's unique. Three candidates in each of those districts running. If none of the candidates for each of the districts gets 50% plus one vote, then the two top two people will go on to November. So if in one of the races, if one of the candidates gets 52%, then that race is over. If all three candidates are under the 50%, then the top two will go to the November election. For the city of Sonora, the way that it works is that there's four candidates for three positions. The top three positions will be placed on the city council in July. That does not go on to the November election. The other race is for judge, and there's only two candidates running, and so whichever one gets the most votes will be the judge next January. They will be taking Judge Bosco's place.
Then we have a congressional race at the federal level as well. Congressman McClintock, the incumbent, I believe, six or seven candidates running against him. How does that race work?
Again, all for the state races and the federal races, it's the top two. And it doesn't matter whether or not one person gets 99% of the votes. They will still be on the November election with this person who is number two.
And then local ballot measures, will there be three this coming?
There's three ballot measures, two for the County of Tuolumne, two tax measures, one for TOT to increase it from 12% to 14%, or from 10% to 12%, sorry about that. And the other one is for the sales tax to increase it from 7.25% to 8.25%. And then the city of Sonora has a measure to decide whether or not the city clerk should be appointed and not elected.
So if you live in the city limits of Sonora, will you still vote on the tax measures?
You will vote on one of the tax measures, the TOT measure. There has been some lawsuits that says that if the county decides to put some of the measures, some types of measures on, all of the citizens of the county will vote for that. So the citizens of Sonora will be voting on the TOT. They will not be voting on the sales tax.
So the two tax measures, does it take a simple majority to pass or a supermajority?
Correct. Both measures were put in that it would just go into the general fund. None of them were specific. It didn't say we're going to use this money to buy fire trucks, or we're going to use this money to increase salaries, or we're going to use this money to buy a new building or anything like that. So because it doesn't say that and it's a general tax, then all it takes is 50% plus one vote.
Also related to the upcoming March primary, looking at the presidential primary, I know locally there have been some people who have been confused who are declined to state voters who get something in the mail that may say they can vote in either the Democrat, American Independent, or Libertarian Party primaries. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. The only time that your party matters when is the presidential primary. Because in the presidential primary, you're not voting for a presidential candidate. You're voting for a candidate for your party to place on the ballot in November. So if you're a no party preference a voter, that means that you chose not to have a party. The Democrats, the American Independents, and the Libertarians said that you can cross over and vote for their party. So you can go into a vote center, or you could have filled out the card that we sent to you, and you could therefore vote for one of their, you'll get a ballot that will have their candidates on it. Just one of the parties. You won't get to pick which, you won't get to vote for all three of those parties, just one. But if you want to vote for a Republican candidate, a Green Party candidate, a Peace and Freedom candidate, one will need to re-register before March 3rd to be able to be on that party and vote for that. You can still vote come into a vote center on March 3rd, ask to re-register right then. You'll be given a ballot. It'll be a provisional ballot. It won't be a live ballot. So if you really are contemplating to and you want to vote for a party other than the three that allows you to cross over and you're a non-party person, then I would highly suggest you re-register earlier than later.
Just this past weekend, I was talking to somebody about the upcoming election, and they said, hey, don't we usually vote in June? So can you explain a little bit about the move up this year?
Sure. Usually, or the last couple presidential primaries, California has decided that they want to have a voice in choosing who the presidential candidates are. And since California has a lot of electoral votes, then they want to... The parties want to be able to have their candidate decided before the June, and so they have moved the election up the last two times that I can remember to March. So this way here, we will know for the different parties who California is supporting for president.
I'd like to ask you also a little bit about election security. Nationwide, you hear about concerns about the ability of people potentially be able to hack into elections or whatnot. You know, what's your thoughts on that, and specifically to Tuolumne County?
I can speak to Tuolumne County and predominantly to the state of California. All of our election equipment is not hooked up to the internet. They're all standalones. When you go into a vote center and you vote on that machine, if you want to vote on the machine and not vote with a pen, that machine has a battery and is plugged in, and that's it. Once you voted, nothing is kept on the machine. The next voter comes in, they put in their ballot type, they vote. One can't go back and see what one has done. Even our recording, when we do the tabulations of all of the votes, it's not hooked up to the internet for anybody to get into. The elections office that has all the machines into it, there's only three people who can get into that. Not only do you need to have a code, you also need to have a card to get into the machines. Once election starts, then nobody gets into the downstairs building unless there's at least two people there all the time. When we have our volunteers, they know that there has to be two of them sitting there with the ballots. The ballots are locked up in another room in the same where you have to have the key and the badge, in another room where you have to have another, you have to use another key to get inside. We try and keep everything as tight as we can. The sheriff has volunteered, with a little twisting of his arm, to use his community service people to pick up the ballots. So the ballots will be at the drop-off centers and at the other vote centers, probably definitely near the end, less than 24 hours. We're also thinking about whether or not we have another two people. Again, two people have to pick up the ballots. Not one person can pick up the ballots. We're trying to put in all the security that they can. Anybody who wants to come down, we'll give them a tour and show them how and where everything is located. But the main thing is that the machines are not hooked up to the internet, so it's very difficult to hack into something that's not on the internet.
Do you ever run into situations where people try to vote multiple times and try to sneak it past you?
They do. I don't think that they do it on purpose. What I tell people, I do turn voters who voted more than once to the district attorney. I have to do that every year. And there's always, you know, a couple, anywhere from two to six. And what we find out is age is usually the culprit in it, that somebody will call up and say, I didn't get my ballot. We'll suspend their original ballot. We'll send them another ballot. Maybe they get that original ballot that day or the next day. They vote it, they mail it in, and then they get the second ballot and they vote it and they mail it in. The system is built that once we scan that first ballot, it will tell us that it's suspended and therefore we've set it aside. And then when we get the second ballot come in, it'll tell us that it's the second ballot. And we don't count both of those ballots. We'll count one of those ballots, but not both. And then we turn both of those ballots, the envelopes of both of those ballots, into the district attorney. And the district attorney's investigator every time has investigated. They don't blow it off. They actually give me a printed report every time and tell me what occurred. And in almost all of the cases, age has been the culprit.
Interesting. We need to take one more break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller Debbie Bautista on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking voting issues. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.